Hello, hi, welcome. The show's name is Presh Reviews, because my name is Presh, and this week I'll be reviewing Joker, Folie à Deux, and it will contain full spoilers. So, I usually like to give context before I give my thoughts on a movie, but I don't think the Joker needs an introduction. He is so insanely popular that they made a movie about him without the Batman in it, and it made $1 billion. So I'm just going to use the context section to talk about how I feel about the Joker. And in the comics, I don't approve of his antics. I don't laugh, I don't chuckle, I don't guffaw, I don't smirk, I don't smile. He doesn't make me go hee hee, ha ha, ho ho, hee hee, any of those, right? Frankly, I find his antics to be a little bit rude. Sometimes I think his name shouldn't be the Joker, it should be the Ruder, because he's so rude, right? In terms of the first movie, I didn't like it. I thought it was a 6 out of 10, and Joaquin Phoenix was good, but he wasn't great in the role, right? But obviously the public consensus is that that was a great movie, and Joaquin Phoenix won Best Actor at the Oscars for it, so... You know, I was in the minority. That being said, a friend of mine described the first Joker movie as White Panther, meaning it affected white people in the same way Black Panther affected black people, which is why the Joker was so insanely popular. So there's a layer of meaning that is totally lost upon me, and I would suggest that you go to other reviewers to maybe get that piece of context. Right? And I imagine that that same meaning was lost upon me in this movie as well. So, you know, sorry if I'm missing that out. Right? My thoughts on the movie. So first of all, you have to admit that it's a baller move to make a movie a musical. We can agree or disagree on how effective the use of music and the musical format was, but however you feel, it's an incredible choice. I really think more sequels should change genre, right? The funniest thing possible, and my dream, would be for a romantic comedy to have a horror movie as a sequel. But, frankly, any change would be very funny. Right? Speaking about the musical numbers, I felt like they weren't big enough. I was expecting more insane visuals and ambitious set pieces, and a lot of the music is just them doing their regular things while singing. That being said, perhaps that's just me bringing my false expectations to this movie. Just because I wanted something bigger is not the problem of the movie. So I'm just going to judge the music on its own terms. And I like the music, but I'm not sure how I feel about the musical format. I don't think it added much to the movie. I could take it or leave it. The final thing is that I've seen quite a few people say that Joaquin Phoenix is a bad singer who can't carry a tune. I personally thought he was alright, and I wasn't expecting him to be an amazing singer. My favorite song was, "You don't know what it's like to love somebody, the way I love you," by the Bee Gees. And I should say that I love the Bee Gees. I don't talk about this enough. When I was in grade 5, my class did a 70s themed concert, and my teacher played Night Fever and Staying Alive for us. But those songs were just my introduction to the Bee Gees. My current favorite song is More Than a Woman, but I also really love Too Much Heaven. You know, they have so many bangers, but that being said, I'm not like a, you know, like a person who deep dives into their discography. I don't know the album cuts. I only know the headline songs. So don't come for me one day and be like, "Hey, name 5 of their songs." Sorry, I wouldn't be able to do that. I could only tell you the big songs that I like. Yeah. Lady Gaga was in it far less than I expected her to be. I thought this would be a two-hander with both of them sharing screen time and singing time. But this was very much just about the Joker, and Harley, well, yes, a big secondary character, a secondary character nonetheless. Therefore, I don't think Folie à Deux is the correct title for this, which is translates to a shared delusion, because it's not really shared between them. It's like he's lying to her. So he knows that it's not a delusion. You know, so they're not sharing it. Do you get what I'm saying? So my initial pitch was that this be called Gotham Gotham, because Joker 1 was a shameless ripoff of Taxi Driver, and the next Scorsese movie after Taxi Driver was New York, New York, which was also a musical. But yeah, the movie was incorrectly titled in my opinion. Yeah, maybe not Gotham Gotham, but some other title that was more appropriate, or maybe The Trial of the Joker, or something like that. Yeah, I really enjoyed it in terms of it being a courtroom drama. It's a nice mirror to the first movie in the fact that the first was the rise of Arthur Fleck, and this was the fall of Arthur Fleck. So stuff we saw in the first movie was mirrored in this second movie. So, for example, like Zazie Beetz, just seeing her around in the first movie, we see her in this movie speak about that first movie, right? It's not often that a movie gets to grapple with its predecessor and examine what its first movie meant to people. So this is a movie that I really loved, that people really hated, and that's the fourth Matrix movie. I can't even remember the subtitle, but Matrix 4 is a movie that grapples with its first movie and the legacy of its first movie, and I think it's very interesting when we get movies like that. And Joker 2 is also similarly, it gets to grapple with the first movie and how it affected people, so to say, right? Apparently, this turned a lot of people off as they felt it was too self-indulgent and covers the same ground as the first movie. I would argue that yes, it covers the same ground as the first movie, but with a far different attitude towards it, and that's the difference as to why, you know, why they would, you know, is something worth doing or not? And I think it is worth doing because they showed this in a far different, from a different perspective. Right, so for example, with his friend Gary Puddles, it was like a cathartic moment in the first movie where he murdered those two guys that were like bullying him. Now in this movie, we realized like how badly it fucked up Gary. So, you know, it's the same moment just with two different views on it, and I think that's a very interesting way to go about making a movie. What I will agree with is that in terms of themes, it's treading the same ground. The main theme of the first movie is that Arthur is mentally ill and that no one gives a fuck about him. In this movie, they're still making this point, even though there's a lawyer who clearly gives a fuck about him. What I think would have been a great idea is for Arthur to be treated incredibly well. And then this contrasts with the first movie where he was treated like garbage because he was a nobody, and now that he lashed out and he's a celebrity, people start treating him with dignity. It would show the hypocrisy of society or something like that, right? Also, why is Arthur still mentally ill? I understand that therapy and medicine take time to work, but he is just as bad as in the first movie. The reason the Joker came out of him in the first movie is because he couldn't get the correct medicine. But now in jail, he is getting the correct treatment. He shouldn't be experiencing dissociative events to the extent he does in this movie. You know, I don't know, is the movie trying to say that mental health medicine doesn't work and, you know, you're just stuck being severely mentally ill forever? You know, I don't know what the movie's trying to say there. I thought that the costumes and especially the Joker's various colored suits were fun. I really enjoyed that. In terms of acting and musical performance, I enjoyed Joaquin Phoenix a lot. I actually liked this performance from Joaquin more than the first movie. In fact, my favorite thing in this whole movie is when he takes over as his lawyer and he does a Foghorn Leghorn impression. And if you don't know who Foghorn Leghorn is, he's the giant chicken in Looney Tunes that says stuff like, "I say, I say, I say," which is like a southern accent. The Joker says, "Now let me remind you that you are under oath, Mr. Puddles, little Gary." Which I was bursting out in laughter that whole scene, right? That scene is my number two scene of the year after, in Dune, where Paul drinks the water of life and then he goes to the Sietch and he gives the big speech. So, yeah. I also really enjoyed the acting of the Gary Puddles character. I don't know his real name. When he spoke about how small he really felt, I thought that was such a powerful moment. Lady Gaga, his lawyer, though the Joker's lawyer, Two-Face and Zazie Beetz were all fine. They didn't really like wow me. So, yeah. Now, I was really enjoying myself with this movie until he gets raped in prison. What happens is that the guards take him to the showers to presumably wash the Joker makeup off, but the implication was that he was raped. And that is what made him stop wanting to be the Joker anymore. And I guess in a sick and twisted way, what they're trying to say is that his rape and abuse as a child is what created the Joker, and now rape and abuse is what made him stop being the Joker. Either way, that scene made me very upset. I've seen people say that actually he wasn't raped, that's just you, projecting. So I don't know what to say about that, but I read it as a rape. So, yeah. The rape scene then leads into him admitting that this was just a fantasy and the Joker does not exist. I feel that this was the ending that they started with and worked backwards to try justify. But I don't think they thought about it hard enough, because what they ended up doing was just having him being raped, and it's just a gross way to justify what you wanted to do anyway, right? Finally, I think Harley should have been the one to kill him when they meet on the stairs. She already shot him in the fantasy, and I think it would have been thematically appropriate instead of a random guy we see in the background sometimes killing him. So, yeah. In conclusion, I give the movie a 6, which is the same rating I gave the first movie, but this is a 6 that I like, as opposed to a 6 that I dislike. I had fun with the music and his trial, but an extremely flawed movie in other areas, which I've mentioned. So, yeah. That's the thing with me, right? I'm not gonna say, like some certain people say, a 6 that I like is a 7, and a 6 that I dislike is a 5. I'm not bringing my personal feelings into this, right? Objectively, I think it's a 6, and the fact that I like it is irrelevant to my rating. So that's why I say a 6 that I like and a 6 that I dislike, and this was a 6 that I liked. And well, I liked it for the most part up until the rape. But yeah. Thank you for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, give a like, etc. Importantly, it needs to be a 5-star review. Please, only 5. Please tell a friend, tell that friend to tell a friend, tell a family member. And yeah, goodbye.